The following resource is from lmpc.org, and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
Would you please remain standing for the reading of God's inerrant and infallible word?
A reading from James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something you don't get. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Good morning and welcome again as we continue our series with James' letter to the 12 churches scattered at that day and to us this day. In advance, I offer my apologies for a struggling voice. I've been at a state tournament for 7 and 8 year old baseball, and I have cheered without thought of Sunday on its way. So I apologize, but God will provide. This is a searching text. What I'm going to ask the Lord to do is to do his work, to search us, to leave none of us where we were when we came in, but to change us. And I would invite you to pray as well as you are seated there that God would do that indeed. Let's pray. Our God, we now ask that indeed you would search us, that you would search our anxious hearts, that you would search our angry hearts, that you would search our warring hearts and give us your peace. Lord, we come to this place this day, in many ways, all of us likely either coming out of conflict, in the midst of conflict, likely even heading into it this week. We need to hear what's true. We need to hear the way to peace and hope. And so will you search us and convict us, and will you also grant our hearts strength and hope in the grace that is ours only because of Jesus. Come, Lord, speak. Your servants are listening. Amen. Well, last week, as I said, in James chapter 3, verse 13, James wasted no time and cut right to the chase with a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? A question he asked the church. You can imagine them looking around, trying to figure out the answer to the question, and he pointed to the deep realities inside. This week, he also asked a question in chapter 4, verse 1. What causes fights and quarrels among you? You can imagine them also looking around, thinking, that one over there, that's who causes the fight. James will make very clear this week in his text in James 4, 1 through 3, that we are at war on the outside because there's failure to do war on the inside. You'll see in these three verses that the cause of conflict is not out there. It's in here. But you also see that the cure for conflict is not in here. It's up there. In C.S. Lewis's work, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there's this scene where the mysterious power wizard, Coriacan, warns that severe temptations and horrible dangers will await these children on their journey to the Dark Island. He says the Dark Island is a place where evil lurks, and evil can take any form. Beware, you are all about to be tested. Evil will do everything in its power to tempt you. To defeat the darkness out there, you must defeat the darkness inside yourself. I think James agrees. To defeat the darkness of relational conflict out there, we must go to war in here. To stop the wars around us in relationships, we must do battle on the inside. We have to learn where conflict starts, how it explodes, and how it is extinguished. First, where it starts. It starts with an ember. It's the ember of conflict. And they're inside of us, the desires that war within. Verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? And he does not grant anyone the joy of hearing him name names at this point. He just says, don't they come from your desires that battle within you? The cause of conflict is not out there. It's in here. There is war on the outside because there is failure to do war on the inside. Please understand before we proceed any further that what James is not saying is that all of our desires are evil. No, we understand from the scripture that our desires have been given to us. Those good desires have been given to us. God, when he made the world, looked at the world and saw order and peace and beauty and work and relationships and family and sex. And he said, good, 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 good. The issue is that those desires that are put in it within us are so powerful, they have so much heat like an ember, that in this broken person, we're sin wars. That if we do not attend to what is going on with our desires inside, if we do not do war with the desires within us, we'll do war with everyone around us. Our desires are so powerful. They're given by God. But if they are not stewarded wisely, if they are not fought with, they will create raging fires and explosions. God gave us those things to enjoy as good, never to worship as God. But when we are enslaved to our desires, we can't enjoy a thing. Just read Ecclesiastes. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Doesn't it come from your desires that battle within you? I wonder if all of us understand that we as individuals entered this place today, that we showed up to worship this day as an armed camp. One person has written, all of our passions are like an armed camp within us. Ready at a moment's notice to declare war against anyone who stands in the way of some personal gratification on which we have set our hearts. There's heat. There is a raging armed camp inside that must be stewarded wisely. I realized this week as I was pumping gas that the battle of our desires, there was something there for me at the gas pump. I must have been terribly bored because I read all the warning labels. And I was haunted. Static electricity spark explosion hazard. Please discharge static electricity on your body before pumping gas. I've never done that. Do not get back in your vehicle, for if you slide over the seat, a spark may be created and an explosion may occur. I've done that. Do not use your electronic device while pumping gas. I'm on my phone. Do not fill gas tanks, portable gas tanks, on the tailgate of your truck. Instead, ground them. I've never put them on the ground. I should have died 700 times over. Now, I tell you that story because it began to make a connection for me. Gasoline is a good thing. Gasoline's a powerful thing. It fuels good things. It goes into the inside. It is a good thing to have gasoline on the inside of that engine that you may accomplish much good. But it's dangerous. And all it takes, apparently, is a little spark to combust. That's the human. That's the sinful, broken human with these good desires like gasoline, powerful fuel for doing good. But if unstewarded, if not handled wisely, one spark, one person, one thing getting in your way, you'll combust. One of our great theologians, he's not a dead theologian, but he's ours, Joe Novenson, said this: if you're not a steward of you, you'll be a victim of you. And if you're a victim of you, everyone else will be a victim of you. Are you doing battle on the interior of your life? Are you guarding those desires that God's put there? Are you paying attention to the warnings of static electricity that may hit you and combust? Are you living with vigilance, repentance, awareness of what is going on in your heart? The ember of conflict, we have all come in this day with heat, good heat, but very combustible. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? How are you doing battle on the inside? If any of us are not, all there will be is war on the outside. Now, secondly, there's the explosion of conflict. You see how it starts, and then you see how it explodes. Verse 2, one of the most simple verses in the Bible in terms of an answer to a question. It's a preacher's dream. It's not that complicated. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Listen to this. You want something, but don't get it. Those cookies are on the bottom shelf right there. If you can't begin to understand what James is saying right there, that what is causing that ember to combust and explode, what's the static electricity that hits the heat and brings explosion? It's not your desires. It's when someone blocks what you want too much. See, there's a difference in words that James uses. In verse 1, when he says, don't they come from your desires within you? He uses a different word than he does here. You want. Two different words. You've heard it before described, I believe. The word he uses for want is epithumia. It's a Greek word that means epi over, thumia desire. It is an over desire. What's an over desire? Well, it's just this. It's wanting something too much. It's wanting a good thing too much. It's when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing and you start to make ultimatums to get it. John Calvin said, the evil in our desires typically lies not so much in what we desire as in the fact that we desire it far too much. And it combusts. It's no longer a good desire, it's become God. You have to have it. To be full, to be satisfied. Again, James is pointing us to the reason things explode is a matter of the heart. In James chapter 1, verse 14, he mentions it is the evil desires of our own hearts from which temptation arises. In chapter 3, 9 through 12, he described all that godless speech. He says it comes right out of the heart. And again here he says, it's a heart problem. And more specifically, it's a blockage in the heart. What do I mean? That good thing that has become God, that over-desire, that good thing that's become ultimate. You've got to have it. What happens when someone blocks you from getting it? Explosion. Conflict. When was your most recent conflict? I want you to try to get it in your head. The most recent conflict you've had. Mine was last night. What was being blocked? In your most recent conflict, what was being blocked? The thing you thought you had to have. And when somebody blocked you, you fought. Mine last night was respect. Respect's a good thing, but when it becomes God, it makes a terrible God. Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, "How weak the gods of this world are, and weaker yet their worship made me." Please hear that. Good things make terrible gods. They were never meant to be worshipped. Comfort, power, rest, relationships, approval, justice, security, good things. But when you want them too much and you don't get it, you kill and you covet. Because you can't have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Why would James use such fierce language here? If you look at it closely, he's actually using war language. Quarrel and fight and kill. Is it because there was no other language afforded to James? No. I think he understood that war language was the best language to use to depict the horror of relational conflict among God's people. We take each other's limbs off. We assault one another. All because we don't get what we want. See, the problem's not out there. It's in here. Good things make terrible gods. I want to try to illustrate it to bring it home to us. Native tribes, when they try to catch monkeys, they hollow out a coconut. They fill in that coconut rice and other delicacies that monkeys love. And they leave it tethered to a tree for a monkey to find. The monkey is delighted. He finds it. He reaches in and he grabs the desired delicacy only to be trapped. Why? Because those hunters decided that they would make the hole deliberately just big enough for the monkey to get his flexible hand in. But when he closes his fist, it won't come out. And there he is, trapped by his over desire. All the monkey has to do is let go. And he's free. He is so fixed on that thing to eat that it becomes something to eat. That's us. What over desire? What is the thing that you're grabbing a hold of and you won't let go? And so there's conflict in your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace, in your community. What is it in your own self? Want something, but you don't get it, and you just hold on to your own destruction. When one of my sons was 4 years old, he was sick. And we called the Fairland Pharmacy, and they delivered a prescription, as Mayberry loves to do. And as Mayberry loves to do, they also delivered a very large free chocolate bunny. Already had a sick kid. didn't need the introduction of chocolate for war. Because that sick kid now said, what? I want that. And I want all of that now. I looked at that child and I said, you may have an ear. And it detonated. That was the electrical spark. A fit ensued. I sent that child downstairs for a later conversation. And God, in his kindness, gave me wisdom that I didn't have because I was combusting in my own life at that point. And I asked this child, 4 years old, this is an absolute true story, is chocolate good? And in fear, he said, no. And I quickly corrected him. Chocolate is a wonderful, good thing. Is chocolate God? No. And I asked a four-year-old, what happens when a good thing becomes God? My four-year-old said these words, I get ugly. That's what James is saying. That's what's wrong. I don't know where you came today thinking the problem's out there. The ugliness is out there. It's in here. Do you see the cause of conflict? Is that we desire good things far too much, and when they're blocked, we war. The good news is that the cure for conflict is not in here. It's up there. Look at what James does next. Really, James begins to say that as long as you and I remain on the horizontal level of conflict, we'll fight till the cows come home. And usually the person that wins is the one that can talk the best, the fastest, and the loudest. As long as you remain on that horizontal level of conflict, that's what will happen. So James says, I'm taking you vertical. Look what he says at the end of verse 2. You do not have because you do not ask God. And with that simple statement, James begins to say that all conflict is about worship. That when a good thing has become God, you now have a worship problem, not just a relational problem. You are not seeking, when he says you do not have because you do not ask God, he is saying, you are not seeking reliance on God's provision. At the end of the day, when a good thing becomes God, he's not enough. We don't really believe that he's all we need. He's ultimate. He's satisfying. No, we're holding on saying, I gotta have this thing. And James says, come to me. You don't have because you don't ask God. You're looking in the wrong place for your satisfaction. And you're creating war. That's why John Piper said, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. God gets great glory when we live out of our lives. I'm coming to you. Good things make terrible gods. You alone are God. You alone satisfy my heart. That's the fire extinguisher for conflict. Get out of the horizontal dimension of looking at the other person and go vertical and say, I don't want you. That's my problem. I really don't want you. Help. Forgive. Change me. Help me believe that you, Jesus, are more satisfying than anything else I would ever desire. And if you want to know this morning, If you are extinguishing the conflict around you, there are two indicators. First, he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. The first one is there no prayer? And the second one is, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That would be self-serving prayer. If no prayer or self-serving prayer marks your life, if no prayer or self-serving prayer marks our lives, I can tell you what's true. We're at war with everyone around us. And there's no extinguisher. In the midst of conflict, if you look back, do you think, well, I sure am glad I stopped to pray before I said that. I sure am glad I reoriented to say, even if I win this battle and get the thing I think I have to have, I'll be empty. You alone, Lord, are worthy. You do not have because you do not ask God. And then he says, self-serving prayer is when you ask God to rubber stamp your agenda. God, I don't want what you want. I just want you to give me what I want. That's the sort of prayer James is talking about, or the sort of prayer that Rico Tice describes when he says, we turn God into a divine waiter. He's there to deliver our daydreams to us. We touch base with him on Sunday. We put our order in via prayer. We might even give him a tip. But God is essentially there to give us what we feel we need, and we get furious with him when he doesn't deliver. Is that how you relate to God? If our lives are marked by no prayer, prayerlessness, if our lives are marked by self-serving prayer, we will be a people at war. And grace offers us so much more. God says, come to me. I made you. I know you. I died for you. I'll satisfy you. That's how conflict ends. When we begin to pray, when we begin to look to him to satisfy us, that's how conflict ends. And then suddenly it'll start again. You have to do that again. And then you have to do that again and again and again until your faith becomes sight. The cause of conflict is not out there, it's in here. And the cure for conflict is not in here, it's up there. Do you believe this day? Do you believe this day that Jesus alone can satisfy you? Do we believe this day that God, Jesus, and Holy Spirit are alone worthy of our worship? Can we see how good things make terrible gods? I long for peace in my life, for peace in your life. And the extinguisher of conflict is to look up to the only one who can satisfy. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you as a broken people, warring on the outside more often than we go to war on the inside. Oh Lord, change that. Lord, there are marriages. There are parental relationships. There are workplace environments. There are communities, there are homes, there are friendships in our midst that need your healing grace. Will you convict us all? The problem is not out there, but it's in us. And yet, you love us. Because you took our warring record upon yourself that we might have peace, Lord, teach us, correct us, take our little heads like a little kid's and turn our eyes to you, the only one who satisfies, that we might have peace, love, true joy. We pray in your name. Amen.